Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Diz Unlimited podcast. I am your host, Rhino, and joining me today for this discussion, members of this panel include Dreams Unlimited travel agent, Teresa Eccles, Dreams Unlimited travel agent, Hannah Anderson,
hello,
and Craig Williams.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Craig, do we still have titles? Get rid of them.
I'll be honest. I think most of our titles were made up to begin with. You know, I still put executive producer on my LinkedIn, but I did not receive a pay increase when I got that title. So I don't think they matter.
Well, it was one of those where I was going to say it, and then I was like, but are we? I don't actually know. But anyway, this episode, everything that we do here is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts in helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. When you book with them, it costs you nothing extra on your trip, and you help support the channel, all the content, the podcast, everything that we do here. So check them out, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. You can head over there and get your free, no obligation quote today. It's also brought to you by our Patreon supporters. Thanks, everybody. If you want to learn how to get exclusive content from different members of the Diz team, and join us for our live Patreon post show that immediately follows this show, hence why it's called a post show, you can head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. And just so people know, that is not exclusive to YouTube. That is also a show that is, there's an audio version of it out there as well. So check that out. And finally, if you enjoy the content we produce here on YouTube, we are not just on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, hit the bell so you get notified anytime that we have a new video, and hit that thumbs up for me, right? Meow.
Right, meow.
Thanks, everybody. All right. Well, I guess we'll just dive right in. People really don't like when we talk to each other. That's what I've learned.
That's all we do. That's our job. Yeah,
which is weird, because like my favorite part of SmartLess sometimes is when they chit chat in the beginning, but
they don't like it when we just talk.
No, there's people who get very angry.
Oh, Disney
in the
didn't start till 12 minutes like, in.
Where's the chapters? Why didn't you put the chapters?
Hey, we started on time today. That counts for something. We also had ice cream for lunch.
We sure did. So there's going to be a sugar rush happening right now. So.
Rush or coma for me?
Yeah, well, I'm about to come down.
Yeah,
from it.
We're a race against the clock right now. Craig didn't get any, so he might just be fine. But he did say it
a
marshmallow
coma
square.
Soon, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I would like to say before we get started that Teresa did have a sandwich that was made of peanut butter.
Will you stop? And, the world must
not
know,
mayonnaise.
Teresa.
It was peanut butter and Cool Whip. No, not Cool Whip. Miracle Whip.
We wish.
Yeah,
it was
I know.
Crunchy
she, I Peter thought she
Pan.
Was kidding, and I'm.
Oh, it was crunchy peanut butter?
Oh, it was crunchy peanut butter.
Oh, I don't know. That adds like a whole other element.
I thought maybe it was a thing she grew up with, like in the South or something. But it turns out she just ran up a jelly. Wait, you told me last time you did.
I grew up in the Midwest. I've lived in the South since 84. So yeah, I've been here.
Oh, I could see it being a Midwest thing. I mean, isn't that where ambrosia salad comes from?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Why don't we have
you know
that
what?
Anymore?
In the 60s, you just had to make do because mom didn't get you everything you wanted at the store.
Well, I used to eat my father's MRE packets. It was the only thing he ever gave us as children. Wah, wah.
Sometimes they have M&M's in those, though.
So. Not just kidding, but it's fine. What'd you say?
Sometimes they have M&M's in MREs.
Oh, I was getting for the for me, it was the saltines and the diarrhea. So should we talk about Disney?
I guess.
It's the end of March. Here we are marching along towards summer. Gag me with a spoon because I am not ready for that heat, but I digress. Disney has been dropping a bunch of Easter eggs in our little Easter baskets this week. Craig wrote that and it makes me feel uncomfortable. If you've been anxiously awaiting the opening date reveal for Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Magic Kingdom, like the rest of us, I'm happy to report you can hang on to that anxiety, let it swirl around in your body, just like the rest of us for a little bit longer, because we still don't know. Sorry about that. Instead, Disney has given us some new insight into the critters that we're going to be seeing on the attraction. And get this, some will even be plushies. Don't you tempt me with a good time. So we're going to take a look at those critters now, starting with Byhalia the beaver.
I love it.
I like a good beaver.
I mean, you made the joke. I was trying just to say the name, so it's fine. Byhalia the beaver. Sorry. She doesn't just build dams. I'm assuming it's a she. I apologize if I misgendered this beaver. Doesn't just build dams. She helps build musical instruments using natural materials from the bayou. As a strong-willed percussionist, it's safe to say Byhalia is the heartbeat of the band, as well as a natural designer and engineer.
Her bio is better than mine.
You think that beaver's related to the Toy Story beaver?
No.
Okay.
and that's that.
Gritty the Rabbit, always willing to dig a little deeper to help others. Gritty, he plays the washboard, a found automobile license plate. Sorry, I don't know why I said found weird. With a high energy, a found license plate. With a high energy flare. It's the perfect instrument for someone who's often overzealous and digs to relieve their nerves. Her nerves. Is Gritty a her?
It looks like a her bunny to me, but again, we don't want to misgender.
All right.
She have eyelashes. That's the tell with Disney characters.
Well, her eyes are closed, but I mean, it looks like there's long lashes at the end.
It's giving me hoop-de-doo vibes, like the when they give you the washboard.
Except those no one actually wants to play, except for a couple of the eager kids in the crowd, and the adults that get handed them are like, oh gosh, get me out of here.
I guess I'll be the loud one here.
I finished my sangria, I'm ready to go home. But I'm not happy about this one. This is almost bordering on offensive.
Oh, the license plate? Yeah.
Well, no, not that.
Wait, what?
I see where you're going there.
Getting out of the dirty river.
There's one famous Gritty, and as much as I don't like the Philadelphia Flyers, the mascot for that team is Gritty. No, he's orange, and he looks like a just insane person.
Oh, I'm thinking of
Philly Fanatic.
If you've seen Gritty, you know
I am, and then I'm also getting it confused with the the Boston Red Sox guy is green too.
Yes.
You're right.
A green monster for the green monster, perhaps.
That checks out. But that green thing is also a monster. So Pennsylvania has an orange guy and a green guy, and they both look like what? Like Muppets that stuck their fingers in the electrical socket?
Yeah.
I mean, such is the world of sports teams' mascots.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We got to talk about more critters. We got Boo, the
Boo.
We got a possum. Bo, the possum. Seeing limitless possibilities, no one finds more wonder in the bayou and the sounds of Zydeco music than Bo. All she knows is beauty, especially her own.
Wow.
Midnight.
Wait, Bo is a lady possum?
Yeah, so is everyone a lady?
They're all girls.
This is a lady jug band?
I mean, Bo.
That's not how I meant. You know, I meant Emmett Otters. I meant the Emmett Otter jug band. I didn't mean.
Ladies.
This one I feel is weird because, like, I think Bo Bridges immediately.
Yeah, that's a
Jack's father on Will and Grace.
Bo Derek.
Typically.
Well, that's a B-O.
I think
Derek.
I have a dog named Bo.
Bo Welch, that's also
Bo. I think a Beauregard.
Exactly.
That's his name.
Exactly.
But it says she? Did Craig write that?
It says she. It says all she knows is beauty.
This was not me writing. This is copy and pasted from the Disney Parks blog story. So,
well, guess what? Perhaps, you can find her plucking out the low notes.
Perhaps they misgendered.
With her upright gourd bass. Gourd bass. Which, of course, involves some musical dexterity with her tail.
Oh, so of course.
I get a
of course. Okay.
Now we got Apollo the raccoon. Apollo loves transforming abandoned objects into work of musical art, like his squeeze box. He's full of energy and storytelling, especially about the objects he finds in the bayou. He's particularly close with Rufus and appreciates Rufus's calm demanor. Okay, is this a... shipping these two?
Who owns the squeeze box? What's his name?
I don't know, but it sounds filthy.
Can we please call it an accordion? Yeah.
I wasn't looking up, so I couldn't see what a squeeze box was. I thought it was like a used juice box.
Don't think about it too hard.
I don't ever want to hear squeeze box ever again.
Disney
writing is wild.
Wait, magical, what's the guy's name that's got the squeeze box?
Apollo will be squeezing the box. Like squeezing the juice in.
It's a song. There's a song that has the Who sing it.
Oh, maybe it's a reference to that.
I don't think it's a reference to that.
All right. Well, we've got Rufus the Turtle. Rufus may be a turtle, but he's quick to jump into rhythm with his harmonica. He's also the first to join in on our new adventure. He's genuine and sincere, but may come across as a little sarcastic at times with his habitual sighing. Rufus loves going on adventures with Apollo. Sighing. He's a...
How much time are we actually going to have with these critters? Are where we can notice boat? Stuff like...
Yeah. Is he going to sigh?
Is this their, like, Bumble account?
Like, so I could understand getting into details like this if this was what was taking over the Country Bear Jamboree and you're going to see their personality showcased, but...
Going to be a plushie that sighs?
Oh, no, that would be cool. On the attraction, he'll be real.
Yeah. It's a squeeze and box. You squeeze it, then...
No, he's got the harmonica.
Yeah, well, he's got the mouth harp.
Yeah.
What about if he just like as you're about to go up the hill instead of like the he just sighs.
It's the Eeyore of this attraction, I guess. Mm-hmm. Guess I'll just play this music.
So these last ones were guys. The first one, three.
We got
girls.
One more, baby. Okay, hang on, everyone, because this one's Timothée Chalamet the otter. No, I said that wrong. Timoleon. Timoleon. It's T-I-M-O-L tilde E-O-N.
E-O-N.
Yeah, so...
Timothée
Chalamet, the otter. Well, definitely. He's the eldest of the band, but Timoleon fiddle played... God, Lord. This otter... Fiddle playing is inspired by all the kids he spends his time around while in the bayou. Well,
what?
Put that guy on this. When he's not sawing out
he's
a jig.
He's the oldest one and he's hanging.
Okay. He's famous for telling stories of his days long ago about his explorations of every corner of the bayou.
Is that the last one? Who's the rabbit?
Found the local perv.
The rabbit was Gritty, remember?
Oh, Gritty. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Gritty. So we got...
I didn't see Gritty up
there. Timoleon, Rufus, Apollo, Bo, Gritty, and Byhalia. And this article announcing the critters included part one, so more critters will be revealed in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
So get ready to commit all those to name and their memorization and to heart. And
their personalities and what they're playing. And...
Well, there's going to be plushies. So we've got Bo, Apollo, and Rufus. So you do get the squeeze box.
I'm getting Rufus.
Squeeze box, the sire, and the possum. What's the possum story again? Hold on, let me go back here.
The possum was Bo.
The mouth
harp. Oh, yeah,
and it's
beady.
A squash.
Oh,
accordion.
Bo is the all she knows is beauty, especially on midnight. That's Bo.
Bo. Cute plushies.
They're cute. I like
that
them.
Raccoon looks like he is going to murder someone. Like,
he does look a little.
I'm coming for you.
The squeeze fox is the best.
The mouse harp. That's the oldest.
That's
one.
Rufus.
No, he's not even the oldest one. That's that otter that hangs out with the kids.
Yeah, the guy.
Timoleon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're cute. I'm excited about them.
The critters will be playing the Zydeco version of Gonna Take You There from Princess and the Frog. And that's not the only music reveal, because Blog Mickey posted last night that the exterior music was turned on for the first portion of the ride as your log is slowly making its way around to the lift hill. Down in New Orleans from the movie is on a continuous loop, which is great for the ride, but will probably be annoying for those waiting to see their family plummet down the hill. I do love that song.
I do too.
Yeah. Did is that you watch Rufus their video Wainwright of it though?
No.
Oh, is it not the movie version?
I thought it was Dr. John or whatever his name is. No, it's the movie version, but it basically is just the first like verse from it. In the South Dan, there's a city way down across a river bend, whatever the lyrics are for it. And so it'll play that part all the way through the down to New Orleans. And then it's like 2 seconds of music and then it just restarts over and over again. Hmm. So I'm hoping there's going to be a little bit more of an instrumental with that. Like, it makes sense for the ride version.
Right.
But, I mean, there's been so many times I've just stood there and, like, appreciated the attraction, watched the logs, and I'm like, if that's what's playing there, I will never stand there and just relax ever again. It just – I mean, that's the problem with choosing songs that actually have lyrics to it. It can get grating, like people joke about. It's a small world getting grating after so long.
Don't go there.
I know, yeah.
I didn't. I said people. I did not say me.
I don't want to go down that path again today.
I don't want to go down that log ride again today.
I don't want that flume.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving over to Epcot, beginning June 10th, guests will be able to stroll down a fully transformed Epcot with the opening of Communicore Hall, the home of Epcot festivals, and other celebrations. More to come on that. Mickey Mouse will be meeting there, and there'll be food and beverages and entertainment to come as well. More on that soon. The one bit of entertainment that has been announced is the new limited time Encanto show running from June 10th through September 6th. There was a casting notice for this a few weeks ago, so it wasn't a surprise, but it'll be a new summer sing-along featuring songs from the movie. Celebración Encanto will run several times throughout the day, and we'll see at least Mirabel and Bruno on the Communicore Plaza stage, which looks like a stage off the ground, but you just sit on the ground or stand to watch it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No benches.
Oh, well, that's going to be tough on me because I'm pretty sure toddler's going to have me there.
Assistance there.
Yeah.
All summer.
Well, they're definitely going to need to be pressure washing this a lot, because if it's anything like Disney Junior, there'll be a lot of pee-pee on that floor.
Blue's Clues. Oh, I remember when. Oh, God.
I was not expecting pee-pee on the floor with it, and that's where
they would like lay pads. Oh, because I used to work, technically that area was like kind of
off the pee-pee?
No, not me, God no. But I, you know, we knew people who were from that area of the park because I worked in that park, and they were like, yeah, there's urine everywhere, everywhere in there.
I mean, I fully believe it. It's kind of the same way, like I've always told people about Forbidden Journey at Universal, is there's not an inch of any one of those ride vehicles that has not been covered in puke at some point in time. Mm. And I mean, there's just certain rides, certain shows that I feel like just attract bodily functions.
Disney Junior just makes kids pee.
Well, I mean, if they're past the diaper age, then yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Some of us report never pass on that it. In a couple of years, maybe. Already gone.
Well, speaking of Disney's Hollywood Studios, speaking of Big Daddy, there's been rumors that Disney's Hollywood Studios will be seeing some major construction walls soon, which kind of stinks because I feel like it's barely been any time since all those walls have been down. But at the same time, it would be great to get a few new additions to Hollywood Studios, not subtractions. That's not what this news is, though. Starting June 10th, Joy from Inside Out 2 will be hitting the Pixar Plaza, which makes way more sense than Epcot, unless she was going to actually say, beat it, bozo. For that clown of a dragment.
I can't read.
Listen, wait. So what is that rumor about the walls up? Where are the walls going up?
It's people are swirling around with it, saying that Launch Bay is, that entire area go back in there, which I know that's a lot of like break rooms and such. So that's what's kind of stopped rumors before there. Hollywood Studios, it does need a lot. And we've talked about that on,
especially
on
that section.
I'm not sure that it's quite ready to be at that point yet. Cause I don't want to see a world in which Animal Kingdom is in Construction Wall City. And then also Hollywood Studios is back in Construction Wall City. And then the only two parks that actually feel complete for a time will be Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And Epcot still needs more help beyond finishing that area. It still needs more to feel more complete in terms of attractions. So I really hope nothing comes of it. But hey, Joy, that's a joy.
When is Little Mermaid open? Like, is it possible that they would open the stage show and then be like, okay, we'll give you Little Mermaid and now we're going to do Launch Bay?
I mean,
like as a compromise,
I think it's still possible that could still go away.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they already announced it, but I don't think it's like, I think they could be like, you know what? We probably should just axe that building, but that would be one man's dream as well as part of that building. Oh, so
that would be tough to do that. But I mean, as soon as Little Mermaid is up and running, like that could be the excuse to finally just one off Launch Bay. But I mean, then you're going to have the Star Wars fans coming out of the woodwork saying, well, now where do I meet Darth Vader or whichever
they
characters?
They need to bring back Star Wars weekends. I think about it every year.
There's no precedent for Disney holding a Star Wars event in a theme park at L. So
yeah, especially not one that has the land in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A wink, wink.
Disneyland. I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. You'll notice in your script today, I specifically left out anything about Disneyland. But it was mostly like, here's the problem. It's mostly like, hey, here's another popcorn bucket you can buy. Here's another popcorn bucket.
A Jabba the Hutt popcorn
and
bucket.
Guess what? Here's another popcorn bucket you can buy. It's like, they figured out their audience at Disneyland. Yeah. We're going to find people who will pay top dollar to come into the parks and buy expensive popcorn buckets.
That's me.
That's me too.
So those shelves, we're going to see this, change it up.
Yeah. You see this very expensive popcorn bucket down here on the bottom with this little ghost fella? Well,
Before we go on, though, I feel like we just kind of went way past the Encanto show at at Epcot. Like we mentioned obviously what it is in there, but I don't, this kind of feels a little bit like half thrown together. Like, they still say it's in development, but is it really just going to be like a band that
it
gets
feels
on?
Like a daycare center?
It well, yeah, it feels like
that's
a band that's going to be on stage with, you're going to have Mirabelle show up, you're going to have Bruno show up, and that's all. And in terms of like the, I know that this whole Communicore Plaza area and hall is going to be used for the festivals. And so it's going to be a constantly rotating thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was hoping for something a little bit grander. And like Encanto, it needs to be thrust into the parks, I think, a lot sooner than what it's going to take with Animal Kingdom or wherever it ends up going.
Right.
And this was a chance to like really stamp in something. And it's like, we'll give you a temporary show.
Maybe they just can't talk about it yet.
Mm.
You know, Bruno.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there, Teresa. I see what you did there.
I was tracking immediately, Teresa. Thank you for that.
Took me a little bit. The thing that gets me excited, I guess, is the food and entertainment, because we said it when the garden opened about being like, this would be a killer place to have like another Baseline Tap House sort of scenario, like somewhere where you can sit and take that respite from the park or people watch or, you know, just go in and relax. Or if you're a local like us, you know, that you can just sit there and do some work or something like that.
Yeah. It's not coming in the terms of Baseline in that same way, but they've already said that there will be like a wine kiosk that you'll be able to get wine and enjoy it in there.
Whole Foods?
So I like it for that. You know what?
Okay. It's, Hannah got excited
on that.
I
sure did right away. Who is doing it right? And if Whole Foods is doing it right, follow them. I don't know. For some reason, this almost feels like a pandemic idea, like the, hey, we know we need to bring entertainment back, so we're going to do a half put together show and cram a bunch of people together and hopefully you enjoy it. But I mean, that's just me being a pessimist on it. I really want to like it. I've been listening to the Encanto soundtrack a lot lately.
Great.
And I enjoy the music. I just don't like watching the movie, if that makes sense.
I think it's also one of those things where maybe they didn't anticipate it being as big of a hit as it was. So they're just like, desperate to kind of push the IP into the park any way that they can figure out. And so it's like, oh, well, we'll do this. Like, that's, you know, at Disneyland, they had that, they would just play that one, we don't talk about Bruno projection show that would be like Small World or something. And then, you know, so I think it was one of those where they're like, what do we do? It's the same thing kind of feel like happened with Frozen, that they like, we're like, we got to get a thing going with Frozen. And now, you know, so I think it's maybe like following that kind of a trajectory. But also, you know, you look at it, it's clearly on their mind because it was in the Blue Sky concept for Beyond Thunder Mountain. And it's in the concept for Animal Kingdom. So you're like, they are desperate to put Encanto somewhere. And they are going to keep it in everyone's like forefront of their mind as long as they can, to be like, don't you forget about this.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I almost would have preferred if it was brought to life as like a stage show at Magic Kingdom. As much as the Friendship Fair still attracts a crowd, I feel like that show is also starting to get on the point where
like
it's
an evening
like,
show, because then you could project like sort of a castle version of the house.
You know what? Yeah. Hey, stop coming up with good ideas.
Hey.
Because that's not going
to
happen.
What are you, Joe Rhoda, going back to Imagineering?
Hey, who called that?
Well, no. Okay. let's insert that in here then, because I feel like there is too
give
much.
Credit where credit
it's
is
not.
Due.
He's walking back in the building teaching a masterclass. He is not
his
saying
ears
that
never
he
looked
is
longer.
Rejoining Imagineering, and that's too many people shoved the narrative of he's
do we
rejoining.
Know that for certain?
I mean, the post literally said he's doing a he's master giving class a masterclass to Imagineers, which that to me says, hey, the current crop of Imagineers that we have in here, I want to be able to pass on my knowledge, what I learned before I unceremoniously was basically forced into a position where I had to leave. And now you guys are all left without that guidance that I had when I was in Imagineering. And now I want to bestow that information onto you. That's what I think it is. I do not think Joe Rhode is coming back in a permanent position building attractions. At the end of the day, even if whatever company he's with right now, or if he's even still with anyone, at some point in time, he's going to want to retire too. No one wants to work forever. And there's no real reason for him to necessarily go back to Disney. I doubt.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom's his baby, and they're about to do a massive overhaul. And he's a creative. Creatives don't just like turn that off.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it would be better if he was. I'm not disagreeing with you that it would be better if he went back and helped guide a project like that. I don't understand what his incentive would be unless they're throwing a ton of money at him, because it's also a company that did not really appreciate him at the end of his time there.
And like all Imagineers.
Fans appreciated him, but it's, well, yeah, that's kind of it too. And so I don't know if there necessarily is any reason for him to want to go back to a company that kind of didn't really have a lot of, you know, love for him at the end of his time.
He didn't have anything to do with Galaxy's Edge, right?
No. He Avatar and Guardians and obviously Animal Kingdom as a whole.
Guardians at California Adventure.
That park that we loved in this one.
Yeah, the last thing that he was working on, I believe, was the plans for Lighthouse Point, because that was kind of his, the idea of that concept being like taking a Alani or other, you know, Joe Rohde inspired activity and plop it in the Bahamas. So I don't even know how they said once he left that he was still going to be like in talks with them about it. But I don't even know if that's the case, because they haven't really mentioned him with any of the Lighthouse Point updates. But I do think it's great that he's coming back and will hopefully be, you know, a guidance for some of the Imagineers who are going to take over and take the reins. But I would love to be wrong, but I feel like we're not going to see a day in which he fully rejoins the Walt Disney Company.
Well, that was speaking of Big Daddy. guys.
Yes.
Can you believe The Lion King is 30 years old this year?
My great 30 years ago, yes.
1994. That is wild to me. It feels like just 10 years ago, the movie was only 20 years old. And Disney celebrated that anniversary with one of the greatest events ever, Harambe Nights, which included celebrity narrators telling the story of the Lion King with tons of African-inspired food and booze. From June 10th through September 6th, Disney is celebrating the Lion King once again, but not with a massive show. They are celebrating with a new merchandise collection, new menu items, and reminding you that you can still buy the Pumbaa popcorn bucket that cannot get rid of. And also, Timon and Rafiki will be greeting guests at Rafiki's Planet Watch. So I feel like a new Lion King collection of clothing comes out every year.
There was one last year or the year before.
Seriously.
30 years.
Yeah, it's wild. I remember going to see it in the movie theater. I love that movie.
I remember in the mall at the Disney store in Atlanta, and I got pictures of Max with Rafiki, and he's like,
that's cool.
4 years old, I guess. Yeah. And it just... he was terrified.
Was it terrifying looking, or was it like an official Rafiki costume?
It was official.
It wasn't looking like the Times Square Mickey Mouse?
Oh, no, it looked pretty official, but Max just had this terrified look on his face because he was like being held captive, and it was like, it terrified him.
Yeah, this one's kind of a stretch. It's great that always changing up the merchandise and promoting popcorn buckets that they haven't been able to get rid of now for 2 years or however long it's been around. But to call it a celebration of the 30th anniversary of The Lion King really is a stretch, because if you didn't have the chance to go to Harambe Nights for the 20th anniversary, that was the best event that Disney ever put on. And I will always take a chance to talk about it when I can, because it was like 100-something for a ticket, and it was all you can eat food. And it was like, we were going to town on lamb chops the entire night. All you could drink for like 3 hours straight while you were there. And I believe our narrator, it was Viola Davis.
Wow.
That told us the story of the Lion King with the performers and kind of like a different on the show of Festival of the Lion King. Mm. And so it's like, bring something like that. If you want to celebrate a movie, do that again. You know what? I feel weird that I'm saying Disney should plan more hard ticket parties to nickel and dime even more, but I would love that.
Well, I mean, this is all about just, hey, here's some stuff you can buy. So at least that's more of an experience, like the Pumbaa popcorn bucket.
Yeah. I mean, that is the kind of the real world that we live in now, where a celebration is merchandise.
Yeah. Show your love with cash.
You guys want to pay to come buy some merch?
I'd
like to just buy the merch. I don't want to pay to buy it.
We know you love merch.
I do. I do love merch. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people. I think in another life I work in some sort of merchandising field or something like that. I'm a sucker for it.
I'm just a hoarder in another life, probably.
I'm a hoarder in this life.
She says as she empties her little knickknacks of mini Disney dolls on the desk that she keeps like a witch. I know.
There's nothing that says that we're boring Teresa more than her just stopping and listening in the entire show
with the toys.
To play with toys.
I am. I just, you know, I haven't looked in here for a while.
Teresa well, dreams unlimited travel.
Yeah.
She'll keep you up to date.
She'll
on
remember your.
New.
She'll remember the vacation you're looking about. Hey. No, you will. You will.
I'm trying to come down off last week's incredibly busy week with DCL.
Well. Speaking guess what? For those guests looking to fulfill their own... Sorry, I don't want to do it out of order. If only we had had this conversation one paragraph from now. But you may be asking why we didn't lead with this news first, and the answer is OCD. We have been asking for drones and capes for as long as I can remember, and we're still getting no capes. But we are getting drones at Disney Springs for the second time ever with Disney Dreams That Soar. The summertime experience will be a late night perk for visitors from May 24th through September 2nd. The show will have Disney stories celebrating the joy of flight with state-of-the-art drones choreographed to create designs in the sky and paired with a soaring musical score and memorable movie quotes. Be interesting because the reviews of that Christmas one were never very positive, I feel like. I never really saw it other than the video, but I just... It's crazy that they were like, we got a race to announce this before Universal says something about their drones, which I am positive they are using.
I'm not a fan of drones. Oh, here's just somebody's head.
Did you not see the Disneyland Paris show?
I did. Not in person. Maybe that would make it.
Yeah, that one's got to be. I mean, this won't be anything like that.
I love the technology and the thought of it all, but I don't know. Drones in general just kind of freak me out.
I don't know that I've seen, like, with my own eyes. Well, actually, no, I definitely haven't seen, like, a drone show, I don't think.
So the holiday one.
I watched this one guy who's got like who lives on this massive farm or ranch or something, but he works for like a drone company. But he does a crazy Halloween display every year, and he did like Stranger Things where it did like the, not the Demogorgon, but the Mind Flayer was like over his house, and then he did a Ghostbusters one where there was like a giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and I was like, oh wow,
like, yeah. I mean, drone technology has come such a long way, and for people watching the show, they'll get a little glimpse of the first time Walt Disney World jumped into drones back in 2017 with the holiday show. This was a partnership with Intel, and it was like pretty to watch, but it was ridiculously underwhelming. Now, like looking at it, it's like, hey. We're making a Christmas tree and then like little, like we'll make a bird, a piece of, and that was kind of like the big showcase of this technology. But back then that's when like the drones could only stay up for 2 minutes and then had to go back to recharge. And so it was just kind of a dance of drones going back and forth. I mean, obviously it's come a lot further. Disneyland Paris has taken a lot of advantage of it with their Marvel shows and the Main Street Electrical Parade show. So I'm excited to see, if it hopefully is more on the Disneyland Paris side, because if
other
it's
than this light bright thing that you have on the screen,
if it's like it was the first time around,
I can barely see it.
It's not going to get people to go to Disney Springs. And I mean, I think that's part of the bigger initiative with this show is the parks, they'll close it when they normally close for summer. How do we get people over to Disney Springs and keep them spending money, shopping, enjoying the entertainment? How do we keep that going after some of the parks that close early are actually closed? And so I think it's a great way to bring it in. I want to know more about it. And like, will it actually look good from the entire lagoon area? Like, will it look just as good watching it from the marketplace as it will over on the west side? Or is the west side going to be the only spot you can see it from? Like, there's still a lot more to know about it.
It's going to be interesting to see how the promoting of it goes, because it's not Disney Springs, you know. I mean, since it's been Disney Springs, it's not like it was when it opened and it was Pleasure Island and they did the fireworks or whatever, right? Didn't they used to do that where it was like, it always used to be like 1999? Mm-hmm. I read that. Don't the Simpsons make a joke about that? And I was like, what's that in reference to? And they're like, oh, well, that's Downtown Disney. And I'm like, what? Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how that promotes and the type of crowds it pulls in. Plus, it's going to make, if it's doing that nightly, what kind of crowds is that going to do? It's smart from a business standpoint, because it gets a lot more I feel like it'll get a lot more foot traffic down at Disney Springs, you know.
But, well, a big part of it
is... Will you only be able to watch from the one side?
Probably. That is a question of it. I feel like West Side would be the side to watch it from. That's what the holiday show was. That was mm-hmm. the best place to see it. Bri K in here brought up a good point, saying drones are a great addition to fireworks, but not to replace it. And that's the one thing I worry about is that right now it's not necessarily being sold as a, you've got to come to Disney Springs to see this when you have it, because it was just announced. But if it's not that kind of show, people, it's going to be like a nice thing. I'm already at Disney Springs and randomly there's this drone show, but if it's not like spectacular, you're not going to get people to like leave a park early or just go out of their way to go to Disney Springs to see it. So that's the first thing we need to know is what kind of show is it actually going to be? Like a, you've got to see this, or hey, if you're already there, it's nice and it's a good addition. And how many people will just be walking around Disney Springs
and not
even
like,
know
oh,
about
look
it?
Lights.
Be like, oh, look, some bright lights cool. in the air. Pretty cool. Is it aliens?
Can you, here's the thing. Can we rent one of the little cars that goes into the water and have them drive us out while the show is going on? Is that, you know?
I don't know.
I doubt
that'd
it.
Be nice. Well,
you're asking for too much.
I know.
I also think that watching it from under is probably not the preferred angle.
As the car tips over.
Yeah. If there is a way to do that, though, someone will do it.
Oh, for sure. Maybe they'll charge premium. I think I'm hoping this is like a sign of things come. Like, I don't know if this could be like a test for future drone shows for them. I'm happy if it's just a nice free addition to Disney Springs.
So. I mean, that is the most interesting part about it is it's – I mean, Disney Springs – I will say this about Disney Springs. Is that whether you're stopping and watching or not, they still are delivering on having entertainment there. Mm-hmm. That's like free entertainment, because when I went to see Ghostbusters there, it was like as I was going to the movie theater, there was a pretty incredible like, I don't know, harpsichord player or something playing his music. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I got no time. I got to go bust some ghosts. But
I
it was
the
like –
dude look, that you know? It just floats around with his piano or his – That freaks me out.
Does he still do that?
Piano. Yeah, they have a roaming piano.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
And it's like, it was cool because it's like an off season. Christmas. Well, I guess, I mean, it's spring break, but I was still thinking like, oh, it's fun that this is here and it's not like Christmas. It's not, you know, I don't know. It's cool.
I like that stuff.
Whether I'm sitting and watching it or not is another story.
But I doubt people can go to Disney Springs without actually spending money. So if the more entertainment you have there, that keeps people there spending money even longer. Yeah. So, and the one thing they need to do though is direct people closer to like the marketplace where that money is going into Disney's pockets, not as much town center when it's just the other random stores. But I'm all for more entertainment. And if it's free entertainment, even better.
I agree. So now we are going to move on. We're going to head out to sea. God, I hate myself. Finally, for those guests looking to fulfill their own destiny, Disney Cruise Line is making that a lot easier on the Disney Destiny. This is the third ship in the Triton class, and it will be the The third ship in the Triton class will be the Disney Destiny, and it will be themed after heroes and villains and delivered in 2025. No details are known yet, like the home port, cruise routes, or when it will be available to book. Movies featured as part of the ship will include Hercules, The Lion King, and 101 Dalmatians. Disney released a little video with a reveal causing even more speculation. The doors in the video showcase the different movies featured, and a final shot including Haunted Mansion, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Edna Mode, and a pirate's skull and crossbone. Are these hints towards spaces or just pointing towards aspects of a pirate night or something like that?
Oh, I want an Edna Mode champagne bar.
Oh.
Oh, that would be cool.
I think, you'll find us all there. That'd be very cool.
She'd be walking around.
Well, so if
critiquing your outfit.
I mean, the one coming out in the fall is the adventure. At Christmas is the adventure, right? And that feels like
the treasure.
The treasure. Wait, I'm sorry. Treasure. Adventure is the other one.
That we don't know.
The treasure is coming out. And that one feels to me like such an improvement on – I did not dislike the Wish. I've only been on it that one time, and it was literally like that media cruise. So it was not – it was that pre the public going on it? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Because there were still like marker lines on some of the rails.
Well,
and stuff.
I mean, a lot of those issues were still on the inaugural sailing too. And it lasted
so I've done
for a
the
little
wish
bit.
Since
but
then. Have you done the wish?
I've never, which is shocking. Well,
yeah, I was going to say
it does seem less themed.
Well, that's the thing is that the new one, the whatever coming in December is
the treasure
is like seems to be like they took. I mean, they would have had to already know, but like, it seems like it is that Disney theming we wanted, like the Haunted Mansion bar. Not that I wasn't excited for the Star Wars bar that was on the Wish, but that definitely fell flat. But like the Haunted Mansion bar, that sounds cool. You know, isn't there a Pirates thing on there too?
Jungle Cruise.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry. And then like, it also is going to have that like Hook's Barbary area still. And we really liked that because that was where I think, all the places I've been in Disney is one of the better places to have gotten like an old fashioned. Mm-hmm. They like handmade it and stuff. And so like, I'm curious to see how this one shakes out compared is going to come around to the treasure.
Wish,
like, will there be more improvements?
I think Wish has its place, the theming. It's just different.
Yeah, I don't dislike it.
And like I said, I don't dislike it. I think it's absolutely beautiful. And I think the treasure is going to be totally different theming, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the layout is what's, concerned
because it's still the same.
It's going to be the same layout as the
They're just three identical ships, right?
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of like build, so like structure,
that's something you have to get used to. If you're a platinum or a pearl or even a gold, and you're used to the fantasy and the dream and the classics, it's a totally different vibe, and you just got to get. You got to realize it's different.
But for someone like me, who I've done cruises, you know, like I've been on cruises, not a ton, but I've been on enough. Like I am not familiar with these ships enough to really. To be like, oh, I'm thrown off by this. Like, I will say that. Like, I remember everybody saying stuff about the Wish on that first day, and I was just like, I don't know. I haven't been on the other ships.
It throws you off. It throws you off just a little bit but you know, going in, it's going to be different. And I tell clients that don't go in, don't compare. It's just a whole different experience, and you just got to get used to it. And I think the treasure. I'm excited about the treasure.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one too.
Honestly, I think the Wish could be drastically improved by going back now and starting to look at those little issues once the treasure comes along, like the Hyperspace Lounge.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make our friend Brooke faint, but I would get rid of it. I think even though it's off in its own little nook and, you know, you could walk past it and see it, but not really like mess with the theme. I feel like they could pull something else that's more fairy tale-esque and put it in that space and improve it a lot more, because thematically with the rest of the ship, it doesn't really work. Especially like when you're right next door to, what is it, Nightingales? And you're like, I'd rather sit in that bar and relax because it feels more like the Wish than the Hyperspace Lounge or even the Princess and the Frog, the Tiana.
Yeah, I was
going
to say
right
that's the one across the street.
They're both. Yeah. Both great. And then like the other thing too, the Keg and Compass, we love that but I don't think thematically it fits in with the rest of the ship.
Right.
It just kind of felt off. Like,
I mean, the Star Wars one's definitely, the Star Wars Lounge definitely stuck out like a sore thumb, I felt like. And we were excited because we're Star Wars fans, but like now time is passing even more. I'm like, I kind of wish they'd yank that out and put something like that at Disney Springs, because it feels like I'd rather see, you know, and then maybe make it an Indiana Jones bar instead. Because like with Haunted Mansion, you know, they've talked about how they're incorporating some of that like captain story with it and stuff. And so Haunted Mansion has a little bit of that water lore to it.
Yeah,
and Jungle Cruise, obviously that has like, you know, so it's like, it's one of those things where I was like, there's not really... I can't disassociate myself enough when I walk into the Star Wars Lounge to commit to the theming that they are presenting in there, right? Like, does that make sense? Where it's like on the hotel, when the hotel was around, you went in and you were like, I have left Earth behind. I am here. And that's kind of the idea of the theming they wanted in there. Yeah. But it doesn't work because the space is too small and you're on a ship. So it's still like – it still was this disconnect with me where I was like – Ogas and Star Cruiser, those were more easy to be like, I'm in that space mentally. But here it was like, why are we doing this intense?
How they could change it up though. I'm just hoping that my mani-pedi on the treasure's not in a bubble and everybody's watching. I want a more private one, like on the old ships.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
On the Wish, you're sitting behind glass and people are walking by waving at you.
Oh, I don't like that.
Your toes are gross.
Right?
Toes are gross.
I don't even want to expose my feet to the person helping me.
Yeah.
You know? So I hope they change that. I don't know if they will or not. But
You probably have to pay more in order to be in a private.
You want I don't know how you could pay more. I mean,
well, but on the classic ships and the, you know,
yeah,
you're in the
separated,
spa. This
right.
way you're sitting out in a hallway behind glass.
It's going to be the exact same thing, unfortunately.
Hey.
But
in terms the crust
of
off.
The heroes and villain theme of the new ship, the Destiny, like I actually think it has a lot of promise mm-hmm. because this one to me feels like they could literally go anywhere they want to. I'm like, how else do you bring 101 Dalmatians into it? Or
that's wild.
Or with
me.
Hercules, yeah. Like the one thing that I wish that wasn't on it was Lion King. Just because I don't need more Lion King.
Yeah.
I don't need it on the season.
You're saying like over-representation of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's over-representation of it. Whereas like Hercules, that still feels fresh. Like
we get nothing from it usually.
I'm hoping that's going to be one of the stage shows, you know, like for the Treasure, we'll have the Moana show. I would love the Hercules musical. I feel like they already developed it for Broadway, maybe.
Hercules, yeah. Yeah, because I think actually I think like yesterday or the other day they released some more like photos from it and stuff like that, because I saw something with the sets. It was something with like a big hand or something.
I didn't see that.
And I was like, oh, that's for Hercules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a big hand.
I could use a lot more Hercules. I would love to see other movies that just aren't as represented now. I know that's not going to be as big of a draw, but there's a lot of things I could also lose on this ship. Like I could lose the Marvel dining. I don't need that.
It's not that I don't want it or I don't need it. Like I do actually enjoy that it's there. I just felt like, you know, when I said it, and I think when we did the review of it, that I don't feel like it delivered on the promise that it had. And it was hard because, you know, sure, there's people who don't go to Disneyland and they do cruises instead, or don't go to the parks at all and they do cruises instead. And I get how we incorporate some of the storytelling that exists in the parks in that storytelling avenue for those people, which makes sense. But it was like, my complaint was, well, Avengers Campus in California Adventure has better, more creative food options.
Let's not go there.
And they didn't deliver on that. I know. I'm telling you, I didn't say Disneyland.
In the Marvel dining, when Spidey came out in his flame retardant jammies, and I thought it was someone on the ship and not the character, I was really disappointed on the Wish.
Spider-Man doesn't come out at dinner.
Yeah, they switched it.
He did.
Oh, it's not Ant-Man and the Wasp anymore?
No, I was looking for Ant-Man. Right. Where's he at? You know, and I get Spidey in his flame retardant jammies, and
I did not know that.
So he's not in his costume?
No, he's in a costume, but that's what it looked like
to
me.
Looks,
oh, because it was shiny.
It was a tiny little kid. I mean, it was,
well,
you know.
It wasn't a kid.
It was Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was like,
I'm going to have to be shocked here. I think it looks better than Teresa's doing justice for it
really?
Here. But yeah.
Yeah. It's
maybe
fine.
They switched it up since
he got
a suit upgrade.
Is it Tom Holland or is it a wannabe?
I don't think Tom Holland is just spending the rest of his life on Disney Cruise Line.
I meant like how Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly are actually in the video. Is it Tom Holland?
This is just at the end of the show where you would normally have used to have Ant-Man and Wasp
because it was part of the story.
This is just Spider-Man comes out.
Walking through.
Not like there's no setup in it. It's just like
he just all of a sudden walks out?
He just walks out. And
weird.
I'm like,
why?
I'm thinking, what's all the commotion over there? I can't see anything.
Oh, I
and
bet
then
it was
I see this little dude coming up in his little jammies and I'm going, that's, you know.
Are you supposed to be here, sir?
I think it's more guest feedback that more people would rather see Spider-Man and have the opportunity to see Spider-Man than to see Ant-Man.
Oh, I was waiting for Ant-Man on my table.
I was waiting for Paul Rudd.
Right.
Well, anyway.
That's okay. But I would love to see that go. Like you just mentioned, Indiana Jones. Usually that restaurant is like a showcase of different worldly food. So wouldn't it be great to have food inspired by all the different places Indiana Jones went?
Yeah,
and
right. Or even Skipper Canteen.
Mm. Monkey brain. Chilled monkey
something,
brain.
Yeah, exactly. Something like, I would love to have a grizzled Harrison Ford who's just miserable up on the screen like, hey, next course is coming out.
Right?
Eat it.
I would love that.
But
I don't like
and then
snakes.
Heroes and villains, something
Why do
different.
Have to be snakes?
We got monkey brains.
Monkey brains.
We're writing it all right here.
Yeah.
Like, we're coming up with a whole menu.
Yeah.
And you can't get that anywhere.
You can do
other than
you can do the gray stuff.
You can do chill monkey brains. That's true.
Hello. I feel like we already, oh, we didn't talk about it on the show. The molds, like when we were kids, those like creepy car.
Oh, yeah.
They used to do like a food one. I had a creepy scientist lab and you'd make the little thing. Brain. And it would make a brain. Yeah.
I remember.
Great. It was, well, it wasn't great, but I still ate it. It was slimy and disgusting.
Wow. So now we've got a menu. We've got a storyline.
Right. Yeah.
Rhino and I can make the monkey brains.
You just give us a really high powered light bulb and we're good.
Yeah. We're coming up for a lot of stuff, just not for the Disney Destiny. For all the other shit. So
it's not our destiny.
Joe Rody, you can go home now. We got it.
Yeah. Take your big ear and get out of here. Sorry, sir. Okay, that is going to do it for this show. We're going to end it here. We're going to do our Patreon after show immediately following this, because we are attempting to get tickets for D23 today. I'm just being transparent. That happens at 3 p.m. Eastern time for gold members. I love gold. Yep, I'm still going to always make a reference to it. But just a reminder, when booking your next Disney vacation, don't forget about Dreams Unlimited Travel. You got someone like Teresa that'll be playing with her little dolls while she's booking your vacation, right? She cares. She looks because she cares. Anyway, thank you also to our... They got me in my neck. She threw a doll at me. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for all of your support as well. Again, don't forget about that after show. Head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. If you are watching this on YouTube, don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment, please. We love those comments. And if you are listening to the if you are listening to this on an audio feed, subscribe and rate and review whenever you have the opportunity. As a once famous porker said, that's all, folks. I'm sorry. I know what you just thought when I looked at you, but
he was looking right at me.
I didn't know. Well, she's got another doll in her hand.
Getting ready to
turn. She's ready.
Nemo's coming at you.
Well, hopefully I survive till next week. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your lunches. And remember, yummy, yummy.